Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. I'm bringing you a series of messages about government and our place in the government, our place in this nation, in regards to how does a Christian view his place in relation to the government, how does a Christian operate within the confines of the government. And beloved, it's good to be back here in the United States. I'm here for just a short time after being in Africa for nearly a year. And so I thank you for tuning in today. I want to encourage you to participate in the government here in the United States of America, to participate, not necessarily to run for office, although if you're called to do that, that's great, that's wonderful. That is a very high calling, and I appreciate the people not only here locally, but in the state and in the federal government and the president. I appreciate those people who have sacrificed their life, given up their private life to run for office. And beloved, that is God's will also here in America, that we step up, and because we are the people ordained and appointed and designated in America to be the government. We are the government. We don't hand it over to someone else. We are the government. And so it's perfectly in God's will for Christians to run for office. It's perfectly in God's will for Christians to carry their faith into their office. There is no separation of church and state for a Christian. A Christian is a Christian everywhere he goes. A Christian is a Christian whether he's in office or out of office, or whether he just goes and votes for a person in office. And so that is God's will, that we continue to carry the banner of Christ everywhere we go. And it doesn't matter what your vocation is. You may be a teacher, you may be a mechanic, you may be a farmer, you may be a politician. If you are a Christian, you are a Christian everywhere you go. You can't divide up and segment your life and deny Jesus in one place and receive Jesus and proclaim Jesus in another place. And so it's very important that we understand our place and our relationship to the government. And I'm bringing these messages because now is the time when the elections of 2020 are starting to ramp up. It's not that far away, a year and a half away, and there are many candidates, especially on the Democratic side, starting to declare their candidacy. And so it's going to be a very contentious election. It's going to be a bloodbath, in a sense, a bloodbath of words. And so we need to know where we stand. We need to know what God thinks about elections, what God thinks about governments. And so we need to understand that it is God's will that the United States of America be a beacon of light to governments all over the world. And I can tell you from my experience in Africa, people all over the world look to America. People all over the world know what is going on in America. And people all over in the world attempt to emulate and copy what is going on in America. And sometimes, beloved, people all over the world are getting ahead of America in the spiritual realm. They are enacting laws and policies in their country that are putting America to shame and embarrassing America. And so I want to bring up some of those issues today as well, if we get time. Well, Romans 13 is the comprehensive teaching in the Bible that talks about the relationship between the individual in a country, the relationship of that individual to the government, and how God views that relationship, how God blesses that relationship. Romans 13:1, it says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." And so we look at these two verses, and the thing that jumps out at us here is that God has appointed every single leader of every country all across the earth. Well, every country has their own way of electing or nominating or declaring who is to be their leader. Some countries have very open and democratic elections, representative elections. Other countries, it's done by just power plays, by power plays within the country of families or institutions that control all the power. It's not a democratic process. But I can tell you that the Bible says that every single leader in every single country is appointed by God. He is there because of God. Those that exist have been instituted by God. And so we are admonished, we are encouraged to submit to the governing authorities. Here in America, we are encouraged to submit to the governing authorities. If you submit to the governing authorities, beloved, by and large, for the most part, in the United States of America, you will have peace in your life. You will have a pleasant life. The authorities will not bother you. You have to submit to them and make sure you have everything done that is required of you to be a citizen. But for the most part, the authorities will not bother you. This is an exceptional country. This is a Christian country. It was founded on Christian principles. And this country is the beacon and the light, the city on a hill for countries all over the world. People all over the world want to come to America. They strive to get to America. They struggle to get to America. They come in legally. They come in illegally. And so this country is the example and the shining light for people all over the world. Well, last week we talked about how we are to pray for the governing authorities. I'll just repeat that scripture right quickly that we looked at last week. It's from 1 Timothy 2. Chapter 2, verse 1, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Well, if you want to lead a peaceable life and you want to have a pleasant life and be able to mind your own business and do your own thing, the best thing is to submit to the authorities. Pray for those who are in office. Maybe they're not of your party, maybe they are, but pray for those who are in office because they need your prayers. If you were in their place, if you were standing in their shoes, you would need their prayers of the people as well. And so God calls us to pray for those who are in authority. And beloved, I think it's very important because of all the enemies that America has, China and Russia and all of the countries around the world, North Korea, that are wanting to take America out, and it is not an idle threat. There's countries that would love to have this land that we have. There are countries that would love to have our resources, our wealth, our people. And so it is very important that we pray for President Trump, for Vice President Pence. It is very important that we pray for the governor of Kansas and your legislatures here in the state of Kansas, your national senators and representatives. And so it is important that we pray and lift those people up to God, that they would make wise decisions, that they would make decisions that would bless the people, benefit the people, so the people can live a peaceable and a good life here in the United States of America. And so, back to verse 2 in Romans 13, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Well, beloved, if you want to have trouble in your life, you can resist the authorities. You can resist the police. If you want to have trouble when the cop stops you out there on the highway, just try to resist him. Just try to put up a fuss, and you will have a lot more problems on your hand than just paying off a ticket. Whenever you resist the authorities, whenever you don't pay your taxes, whenever you don't submit to the registration or the census or whatever it is God calls you to do, or you don't buy a a driver's license to drive your car, or you don't buy a license to open up your mobile kitchen or whatever it is that the government requires you to do, you're going to end up with judgment. You're going to end up with more problems on your hands. And I have been preaching in the prisons out here in America for 18 years and also preaching in prisons in Africa. And so if you want to have lots of trouble on your hands, you will eventually end up in prison, because that is where the rebels go. That is where the people go that can't submit to authority. They can't submit to the police. They can't submit to their parole officer. They can't submit to their church. They can't submit to their God. And so they end up in prison. And God has his way with people in the prison. And I'm not saying that God can't change people. He does every single day, people who are in prison. But beloved, it's not that great of a place to be. Yes, it's a good place for some people, but they don't like it there most of the time. Sometimes people give thanks that they're in prison, but it's a painful place to be. And so God calls us to be obedient to the authorities that he places over us. Children, if you're listening to this message, he places you in a family and he wants you to be obedient to the head of the family, to your father, to your mother, and to this people in school where you go to school. And so it is important that we learn to submit to authority and learn to pray for those people in authority over us, and we can live a quiet and a peaceable life. Well, verse 3 in Romans 13, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority?" Or in other words, would you like to have no fear of one who is in authority? "Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval." And so Paul is saying here, if you are having good conduct, if you're behaving and you're taking care of your business and you have good conduct, then you have no reason to fear the authorities. And for the most part, that is true in America. I know there's been times in our history when certain classes of people have every reason to fear the authorities. I know there's been times in our history that haven't been all that good, that the authorities have honed in on and persecuted certain classes of people, certain races, and certain ethnic groups of people. But for the most part now in America, if you are behaving and you are minding your own business and you are living a quiet and a peaceful life, the government will leave you alone. Praise God for that. I hope that is true for every single person in America. That is our goal. That is our wish. That is our desire. And Paul says you will receive approval from the governing authority when you do good. All right, verse 4, "For he is God's servant for your good." The governing authority is God's servant for your good. "But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain." In other words, God gives the government authority to bear the sword. The police and the authorities here in America, the law enforcement authorities, they all carry guns and they carry them out on their hip. They don't hide them. And so they carry the sword, and it is not in vain that they carry the sword. They carry the sword so that they can maintain law and order. That is God's will. And sometimes they have to use them. Sometimes when their lives are threatened, they're people as well. They're not just law enforcement officers. They're also people. They have wives. They have children. And when their lives are threatened, they have every right to use their guns, because many times they are thrust into situations where other people have guns and where their life is put in danger. And so many times they are put in very dangerous situations. We need to pray for our law enforcement people, the enforcers of the law. They don't necessarily want to be in situations sometimes that they are in, that they find themselves. Sometimes they're in situations not of their own making. It's just dealing with crazy demon-possessed people. And so we need to pray for our law enforcement that they will be safe and they can carry out their job in peace and in quiet as well. Okay, so "they do not bear the sword in vain, for he," the governing authority, "is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer." Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. In other words, we are called to abide by the law, not only for the purpose of avoiding God's wrath, we don't want the wrath of God down upon us, but also we're called to abide by the law because the law, the civil law, in America especially, is based on constitutional law. The civil law is based on constitutional law, which is based on the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not envy and desire to have somebody else's stuff. All of the laws, the civil laws in America, hopefully, are based on the Ten Commandments. That is why there is so much contention over the issue of abortion, is because people who are Christian, for the most part, when people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, for the most part, they see abortion as murder. They see abortion as outside the will of God. They see it as shedding the blood of the innocents. And so there's a great pushback now to overturn Roe v. Wade, the law that was passed in 1973 that allows free and, you might say, easy access and government-sponsored, government-paid access to abortion here in America. And so there's a great pushback now going on in every state, just about every state, not every state, but many of the states. There's a great pushback against Roe v. Wade. There's a pushback because people who are Christians and people who understand that abortion is murder want to overturn Roe v. Wade to receive the blessings of God, for that blessing to be coming onto America instead of the curse of shedding the blood of the innocents. Instead of that curse being coming onto America, it is a desire for Christians for the blessings to be coming onto America, and so we can remove that burden, that curse that has caused a great deal of anger, a great deal of God's wrath and judgment to be poured out on America. Well, again, verse 4, that a governing authority is the servant of God, and he is an avenger. In other words, he carries out the vengeance of God against the wrongdoer. He carries out the vengeance of God against those who murder, against those who rape, and those who steal. And so we have a judicial system here. It is very complex, I'll grant you that, but it is in other countries as well. We have a judicial system that guarantees, for the most part, that people will get a fair hearing, that people will get a fair trial, that people will get a trial by their peers if they so desire, and that people will get a sentence for their wrongdoing that is commensurate with the crime, and people will get a sentence that hopefully will help them, in some cases, remove them from society forever, but in some cases, it will also give them time to think about their life, to reflect on their life, meditate on their behavior. And so I again say that sometimes prison is a very good place for people. It gives them a chance to think about their life. It gives them a chance to reflect on their behavior, on what God's will for their life is. And so it can be a very beneficial thing for people who are in rebellion to the law. Well, in Matthew 17:24, we're going to talk about paying taxes. And many people complain here in America about paying taxes. And I grant you that the taxes in some cases are burdensome. They are onerous and cause people a lot of struggle and strife. But for the most part, I think the tax burden here in America is fairly equitable, and it is fair, and the burden is not too burdensome on each and every person. Most of the people pay taxes willingly here in America, and that is God's will. If the taxes are burdensome and not equitable, then it is up to us to change the tax structure, to change the tax code through our elected representatives. If you just withhold your taxes or you don't pay taxes, you're going to incur the judgment of God because you are in rebellion to the governing authorities. Well, in Matthew 17:24, it says when the disciples came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher pay the tax?" And he said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" In verse 26, when Peter said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." Well, there's a couple of good points being taught in this little parable, in this little teaching. First of all, that the governing authorities always levy taxes upon people. They levy taxes for everything you can imagine, for the things that you buy, for the land that you live on, the cars that you drive, the gasoline you put in the cars. There's a tax on everything, beloved. And you know the old saying, there's two things in life that are predictable or that are determined, and that is taxes and death. And that is very true. And it's the same in every country I've been. There's taxes on businesses in Kenya. There's taxes on driving a matatu down the street, a boda-boda down the street. There's taxes on the fuel. And every way that Americans are taxed, the Kenyans are also taxed. Taxes on land, etc. And so that issue is an important issue. But don't grumble about it. In America, you have very nice roads. In America, you have very nice vehicles, you have very nice houses, you have very nice buildings, you have an opportunity because of your taxes to get good government services delivered to you, you have good health care here, you have good retirement homes, you have good schools, your children are being schooled and they're being taught, and the taxes of the people of America are paying for those schools, are paying for the teachers, paying for all the equipment, the athletic programs, the buses. And so don't grumble about paying taxes. I know sometimes it may seem a little burdensome, but you have such a great country here in America. You can drive from here to Kansas City and hardly hit a rough spot in the road. The interstate highways here are just an absolute beautiful, in a way, miracle of creation. They are just so good compared to the underdeveloped countries. And so it is a good thing to pay taxes. It is a good thing to bless the people who don't have food. They can go and sign up for food stamps. They can go sign up for assistance, maybe to pay their heat bill, their utility bill in the wintertime. And so it is a good thing if you have money and you have a job. Don't grumble about paying taxes. And so Jesus said, we can pay the tax to the government. If they require us to pay a tax, we're going to pay it. And so Jesus was making a point there that it is good to pay the tax if that is what the government requires. But then he said to Peter, go and put your hook in the water and pull out the first fish that grabs the hook and look in his mouth, and you will see a coin, a 2 drachma coin, and you pay that for me and for yourself. You will find a shekel. He said, take that and give it to them for me and for yourself. And so Jesus was saying, if it is God's will, there will be provision to pay your taxes. If it is God's will, he's going to provide for you. If I need a visa to go to Kenya, God is going to provide it. If I need a visa to go to Burundi or Tanzania, God is going to provide it. And if you are doing the work of God, if you are being obedient to the government and to the governing authorities, and in addition to that, if you are being obedient to your Heavenly Father and you are doing the work of God, then you have nothing to fear. God will provide. He'll provide for that visa. He'll provide for that crusade. He'll provide for that children's home. Whatever it is you're doing for God, God is going to provide. Well, I'm going to close one more scripture here quickly. Proverbs 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Beloved, President Donald Trump was placed there by God with the help of the voters of the United States of America. It was God's will that this man, Donald Trump, be raised up to be president of the United States, just as it was God's will that Barack Obama be president of the United States. We need to pray for this man, Donald Trump. We need to pray that God will continue to give him wisdom, that he can help steer America back to God, that he can steer America back, and that the United States of America can be the nation that God has called it to be. The king's heart, Donald Trump's heart, is in the hand of God, and God will have his way with him. I've seen already Donald Trump be humbled, and he is a man that is after God's heart. The prayer meeting, the National Day of Prayer, that prayer meeting has echoed across the world, and people know that the United States of America honors Jehovah God, honors people of faith, honors all faith, and gives people the freedom to follow their faith here in the United States of America. That is God's will for this nation. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I invite you to participate, to partner with this ministry, keep these radio broadcasts coming, and also the projects that we are engaged in over in Africa, the Children's Home, the Crusades, the preschool sponsorship, all of the good things that we're doing in Africa. Stand with us, partner with us, listen to the contact information, sit down and drop us a line, write us out a check, and we will appreciate that very much. God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.